Are we live? Welcome to live stream number 4. Here with Paul Tarantino, my co-host. My name is Cedric Youngelman.
Paul Tarantino, by and Federal.
Maybe we'll just chit-chat for a minute or two before we do the intro and
absolutely
get into Around the Block.
Thank you for the wonderful Zote Hazy IPA from Colusa.
Well, thank you for coming over.
My pleasure. The new studio is fire.
Yeah, man, it's pretty good.
When are we taking this thing on the road?
Soon. We'll take it on the road soon. I got to get a truck.
You need a big truck to do this bad boy. I wish everyone could see this, what we're looking at here.
Next time we'll have like a jib camera go around the studio.
Yeah, because it's fire.
And we got Francis on ones and twos.
Yes, sir.
And
coming to you from Montreal.
I'm not sure you can hear me.
It's a north to south.
We don't hear those birds anymore.
Hmm.
Well, let's get into the show. This is Bitcoin Center. My name is Cedric Youngelman. This is my co-host, Paul Tarantino. And this is brought to you by Byte Federal.
Go back,
Francis, yourself. If you could roll the intro.
All right. Number one, Trump's big, beautiful bill will make up the deficit with 10x growth.
Well, what do you think, Paul?
Well, I think Doge didn't work. And as soon as they started putting in tariffs and they realized that Jerome Powell wasn't going to play ball, wasn't going to lower interest rates and allow them to financially repress the United States, they had no other choice. So now it's all about spending and spending to drive growth.
Ah,
that's it.
So this is not real growth. This is spending driven growth. They're going to just print.
Of course, they'd like real growth. But I mean, how are they going to do it? Where's the money going to come from? It's going to be more debt. Right. So if you're going to have more debt and you're going to have more spending, we're going to just be continuing down the same path. It's really no different. So it's just Trump coming to the realization that you cannot stop this train, as Lynn Alden always says.
Wow. So they're going to pump the train. This is going to be interesting. What do you know anything about the big, beautiful bill? I mean, I know that
I know the important stuff.
Okay.
They're trying to get de minimis transactions untaxable on Bitcoin.
So that's part of this. And I heard it's now at like $300 or something low like
600,
that.
I think.
Okay, hopefully. So that's part of this. What else, hopefully. I guess?
I know there's a bunch of Palantir stuff in there.
Okay.
That's not good.
Right.
I know there's a bunch of AI stuff in there.
Okay.
I just, you know, it's big. It's beautiful.
And this is through the Senate now.
It's going to be the best bill ever.
It's got to go through the House and it'll be game on?
I don't know.
Okay. All right.
I do believe actually that JD Vance was the tiebreaker and it's done. I think it's done. It's like it's going through.
Okay. All right, cool. So I think this rolls out the carpet for stable coins.
The Genius Act is, I think, Senate's.
That's a portion of the big beautiful bill. Is that?
I think they're trying to put it in there, so I don't know if it got in there or not.
And what can you tell me about the Genius Act?
It's a stable coin legislation that's going to allow it's just going to provide regulatory clarity for anybody who wants to issue a stable coin in the United States. And it's going to prevent the stable coin issuers from paying interest. Right. So that's sort of like the banking lobby got that in to protect their butts. They'll still have accounts that pay interest. Stable coins won't. And you'll be mandated to buy bills.
T-bills.
Yep.
Right. That's probably the
that's the big deal
right
there. Right. Because as of right now, that's the only way the Treasury is financing themselves is by selling more short-dated Treasuries. And so they need as many buyers of that as possible.
Something I find so interesting is Tether is domiciled in El Salvador now. Is that
true?
Yeah, I guess
you're right. Yeah, I think so.
And they're kind of like really aligned with the Treasury, it seems like.
Yeah.
And it seems very convenient to have an outpost for the largest stablecoin issuer in a foreign country. Is it really interesting?
But
that...
I don't know. I always looked at Tether. Right, like SOFR, when they got rid of LIBOR and put SOFR in place, it was like this is like an attempt to kill the Eurodollar market
right.
or to take back control.
Right.
But at the same time, you need all these buyers of dollars all over the globe. And it's like Tether to me is like the replacement for the Eurodollar system that the Treasury actually can directly control. And directly benefit from. So it's like we want dollars all over the world, because that finances our debt. But we don't want the euro dollar. We don't want the London banks running the show. We want to run the show out of our own treasury. So this alliance with Tether makes perfect sense from that perspective. Global issuance, global dollars all over the world directly buying treasuries.
But from my perspective, why would Tether go to El Salvador if they want to align with the U.S. when El Salvador is doing things that the U.S. doesn't like?
Yeah, but that happened before all this, right? That happened all before Trump. And now, right, now they're partnered with Lutnick. And, I mean, they were doing their purchases before, but now what? You've got 21 Capital, right, with Jack Mahler's,
Jack Mahler's and Lutnick.
Tether and Lutnick.
SoftBank.
Right? So they're coming into the United States. But I think from, you know, I think the only reason why they're in Salvador is because that was a good good regulatory environment for them. And most of their sales are international.
But you would think that most would ruffle the feathers of the U.S. like that. You would think, unless there was an El Salvador.
Next.
Fed Chair Powell, banks can engage in crypto. So this was in, I think, Cointelegraph. Fed ends reputational risk oversight, eases crypto restrictions. The Federal Reserve is officially ending reputational risk oversight, easing crypto banking restrictions across the U.S. The Fed board announced that reputational risk will no longer be a component of examination programs in its supervision of banks on Monday. So this is, I think, more about reputational risk, not so much about crypto. Crypto kind of just squeaks in here, it seems like.
Yeah, it's also kind of like, let's talk like realistically what banks are going to do, right? You have banks like SoFi and neobanks that are going to charge into this space and dominate it. And then you have the mid-tier small banks, state banks that are going to drop the ball and get just nuked. Like they're technologically not going to be able to keep up. So there's going to be, regardless of the fact that banks are now cleared to run crypto, the number of banks that are going to be able to pull this off is limited. I think there's going to be a lot of banks that die over the next decade because of this, because they can't adapt to the new technology.
Right.
And I'm not saying that's a bad thing. I mean, they're like, we're running on 1980s technology in most of these banks.
Why would the Fed though stand on this ground now of like, we're not going to look at reputational risk in the banking industry anymore? That's like a weird thing. Like, I'm not for regulation, but if they're going to regulate the banks, I would think reputational risk should stay on the table. It seems like a catch-all for, like, let's look around for red flags, things that don't...
Also, I engage in crypto. They still have to pass the regulators. They still have to, like, go through their audits with the OCC, and the OCC still has to give them a stamp of approval. Just because the Fed says, yeah, you're cleared, the hurdles could be so high technologically that only a few top-notch, technically superior banks are going to be able to make it through that guillotine or make it through that, you know, that regulatory tunnel. So the ECB wants your savings. So the ECB, this is awesome. So the ECB, who's desperate and dying on the vine, is trying to get their hands on the Europeans' savings accounts to invest capital in Europe. And it really is sort of like the last gasp. You know, they're going to try and launch their CBD. They're going to try and get people investing in their own markets. They see that the world is moving on without them, that they're about to go into a massive recession, a financial collapse. They could lose the euro. They could lose the European Union. There's so many problems in Europe. This is literally like a last ditch effort. This is like the hand coming up out of the pool before you drowned. I mean, it's just, they're so far gone that this is kind of a joke. And no European in their right mind is going to be like, oh, yeah, sure, I'll give you my money.
But like, so this is really about capital controls and keeping capital in Europe.
Sure.
And doing anything they can to kind of raise the gates and prevent people
Put this in alignment with the Lagarde statement years ago that Bitcoin is an exit.
Right.
And we can't have an exit.
Right.
Right. This is perfectly aligned. They're going to try and trap as many people as possible behind their CBDC and capital controls, and let's get you invested in some great savings vehicle. Yeah, and then they're trying they can to lock down the exits before they fold, and they're going to fold. They'll be them and Japan will probably be some of the first countries to really fold.
Wow, that'd be interesting. Let's do the next topic. MasterCard and Chainlink equals buying Bitcoin on chain. There's MasterCard and Chainlink are partnering to enable MasterCard cardholders to purchase cryptocurrency directly on chain. The two companies shared the announcement on Tuesday morning, signaling a major step forward in the mainstream adoption of Web3. I mean, I want to ask you about this. I mean, like, this enables billions of cardholders to purchase crypto directly on chain. Like, is this real? Like, this doesn't seem like real life that MasterCard would partner.
I think this is definitely real. Okay. I think that you can think of this like Coinbase Pay for MasterCard. Like, they want to get in that game. And they want to earn points off you purchasing with your credit card. And so this is a way for the card companies. And I think this is going to be a trend, right? I think Visa, MasterCard, Amex will be the first big major stablecoin adopters because it eliminates.
So that's what they mean here by crypto.
Yeah.
Okay. Stablecoins.
Like if you think about Coinbase Pay, how much money they make off, putting Coinbase Pay on other platforms so that XYZ wallet you can buy coins on. And Coinbase Pay does all the KYC and they do the processing of the payments, etc. MasterCard, Visa are missing out on a lot of that action.
So where does Chainlink fit into this? Do you think
they're the software developers. I don't think Chainlink has anything to do with it other than they create the smart contracts and they create the code and they run the blockchain that keeps track of the transaction. So it's like an outsourced development team.
Right.
For MasterCard. Right. MasterCard's running the show, obviously.
Right, right. Okay. Right?
And I think MasterCard and Visa are going to become huge in regards to stablecoin usage. That's my prediction. All right. Lummis, no cap gains on BTC under $600, right? This is in the big, beautiful bill. This is what she's pushing. This is awesome. It's a good start. I would love to see no cap gains on any size Bitcoin transaction. But it's a start. This would be great. Make spending your Bitcoin at different retailers so much easier. No worries about accounting for capital gains on small transactions. It'd be wonderful. It's a great start.
Yeah, so, this is the beachhead. This is America treating Bitcoin as nice as it treats the dollar. As money,
treating it like money.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's a good start.
I would like to see it higher, but I think anything that gets through is a positive incremental step. I mean, the VJ was like, it should be $10,000 and it should go up with inflation, obviously, of course. But this would just be tremendous.
No, and I think I know Caitlin Long has talked about this and others that they're working on trying to eliminate capital gains completely. Mm-hmm. You want to talk about that 10x growth that Trump wants out of his big, beautiful bill? Eliminate tap capital gains on Bitcoin.
I think that would be the most incredible thing in the world. Don't you think that would also... I hate that leads to sell pressure, though, in the sense that, like, you know, if there are gains,
someone's buying it,
it's going into stronger hands.
Yeah.
Right. But it's someone selling it because they're like, hey, like, I don't need to wait to 40% more because I'm not going to pay tax on it. I sell it now. I get 100% of the gains.
Yeah.
And so the people who wouldn't sell might be inclined to sell.
But we don't need regulation to tell us what to do, right?
Yeah, totally.
And we don't need taxation to tell us what to do.
Totally.
We need to be able to do whatever we want to do with our own money. And so if you don't ever want to sell your Bitcoin, which I'm a big fan of, and you want to borrow against it, and you want to just keep that stack growing, all for it. But I don't believe people should be penalized for making money.
All right, well, let's go to the lightning round.
Where are you?
Presented by Byte Federal.
GameStop completes $2.7 billion of fundraising, $9 billion total cash. Thoughts, Cedric?
I'm still waiting to figure out what they're doing with all this cash.
I know, right?
It's like
the whole world is buying Bitcoin for their treasury and financialization.
They would be one of the few companies I'd be excited about in the sense that they could actually... maybe do something besides meme the treasury thing into existence and actually maybe do things with the physical locations towards Bitcoin, maybe sell clothing, memorabilia. do things with Lightning, with the gaming, with the infrastructure, digital payments.
Yeah, there's a lot.
There's so much they could do and become a 21st century company.
Right.
And re-transform the business just technologically on the back of the internet.
GameStop, put a bounty out for people to develop Bitcoin games where you can win a Bitcoin reward. Like, do something creative other than just sit there and spend your cash on Bitcoin.
This one's you.
Sorry, BTC so. Sessions temporarily banned from YouTube. That was ridiculous. Did you see that?
Yeah, my heart goes out to Ben. You know, I've had a show banned from YouTube, and it made me realize right away as a Bitcoiner, like, you're not building on Manhattan.
I don't understand, like, what he even did anything wrong. What was he doing that was wrong?
Okay, well, no, I don't think he did anything wrong. They just, somehow he got caught up in some process, whether it was human or algorithm-based, and they cut the
channel. They just dropped him.
They fixed it within a couple of days and restored everything. But I can only imagine for Ben, I mean, it's I don't recommend people build on YouTube and put their lifeblood there because it can be taken away from you at any moment. But that's a lot, right? And we're here on YouTube. So as a YouTuber, I mean, I really I relate. I empathize.
It's obvious too. He has a big enough voice that they're listening.
Right. And they put him back on. But he also has a big enough voice that he's depending on that income, probably. Depending is not the right word, but that income is healthy.
Sure, yeah.
And so that gets taken away, but it's not even the money. It's then all the material, all the communication, all the comments, all the likes, gone, all your work.
Right.
And that speaks a lot for Noster and what we need to do there as humans and build a media network that we can have social consensus around, or at least not be voided and canceled. So this was sucked. Man, I'm glad he got it back. All right, strategy added to the Russell top 200 value index. I think this is kind of interesting. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, I still think it's so weird that like people outside of Bitcoin don't talk about MicroStrategy just as a fast moving stock. Mm. It just hasn't caught eyeballs yet.
Yeah, you're right.
And I feel like that's been suppressed in a way. I talked to my friends and family. They don't know anything about MicroStrategy. And you would think that the number one performing stock of X amount of periods of time would be more on CNBC just from that.
Yeah, but how many think about this? So many of those people just passively invest in the index. 100%.
Yeah, they do.
They don't know anything except Apple, Google, Microsoft, Facebook.
So they do know the names that stick out.
Yeah, that's it.
And so if you would think there was an opportunity for mainstream media to pick up on the success of a MicroStrategy over the past few years to get that out there the way the names like Robinhood have gotten out there and other things, Uber or other things that have just been on paper successful. Mm-hmm. We could break down whether it's risky or whether you should invest in it.
Well, I mean, also strategy doesn't have like a product that everybody in America using. Has,
that's
right?
True.
Like we don't,
that's
he true. Does not, you know, he doesn't have the iPhone.
Right,
he has Bitcoin financialization. Chinese gaming firm puts 20% reserves in BTC. They're NASDAQ listed.
Oh, they are.
Mm-hmm. And they've got. I mean, it's 20% of their reserves. They've got a lot of other cash.
Are they profitable?
Yeah. Of course,
that's great.
Chinese.
Okay, I don't care.
Good for them.
Yeah.
Oh, that was fast.
Anthony Pompliano's pro cap buys $392 million in Bitcoin. Bang, bang. I don't know, man. Like,
good
you know,
for Pomp, dude.
Pomp seems is very smart, very articulate. Yes. I don't know how he came onto the scene with so much. Like, it's almost like Lex Friedman or these other Ian Carroll. They just grow so fast.
I don't know. I mean, he's been around forever. Pomp's been pounding.
Right, but he came around forever out of nowhere, just like everyone else sometimes.
I don't know, dude. I mean, Pomp has been around for as long as I've been looking at Bitcoin. And he's been out there leading the Wall Street charge. He's been the guy on CNBC. He's been the guy. He was going out there and telling the story before anybody else.
Right. Well, I'm just saying his message, his channel, whatever you want to say, grew very fast in that time.
Mm-hmm.
And all he's done is bring a lot of people to things like FTX.
Does get involved in a lot of crap.
And he gets a lot. And so,
the only thing that he's talked about consistently that's worked has been BTC.
Yeah, and he speaks so, like, his episode with Murad is one of the most fantastic pieces about Bitcoin I've ever heard.
Yeah, and then what happened?
And what happened with Pomp with just in terms of leverage. So I just think, to me, I mean, like, that's part of the reputation of the resume.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that's what, I don't know. It's going to be interesting. It's a lot of capital. I don't know what their strategy is. We'll see.
He's playing Wall Street games.
With like bang, bang.
Bang, bang. Well done. The New York City mayor candidate. I don't think we should have billionaires. This guy.
Oh, my God.
This guy is going to drive more people to Florida than you could ever imagine. This is the worst thing for Florida.
America getting a worse mayor than Brandon Johnson of Chicago. And New York was like, hold my beer.
Yeah.
And I'm a native New Yorker, born and raised in the suburbs of New York City. My parents are from the five boroughs. I got on the phone with Bitcoin Tina the other day, anti-Bitcoin Tina now. I don't think of Miami joking around about that. But we were just talking about human behavior. And he's like, you know, it might feel good for a while, but in 10 years, this is going to have disastrous effects.
Well, you know, Florida needs our real estate market needs some help. So
that's true.
The more billionaires that move down here, the better, I guess, for something.
And cops too. We'll take the cops, we'll take the teachers, man. The plumbers, the electricians. You know, I love New York City. That's a tough one to watch.
Is New York City moving to
California or San Francisco?
I don't know.
I think what's going on up there? I don't know. Democracy, people want to,
you know,
get
what
candy.
It is, dude. ESG got their fingers in Wall Street. And now that's got its fingers in the political system, and it's just spreading through the whole.
Well, you can say social media has gotten its fingers in the political system, and these are just meme candidates.
Yeah, they totally are.
You know, and
it's such a joke.
It's a joke. It's like,
it's not even a part of
this guy's a former rapper.
I mean, like, he is.
Have you seen the rap video?
No.
About falafel and shawarma? No, I mean, it's, I don't even know, man. This is me, I think. Bitcoin on exchanges hit 6-year low.
Yeah, this is awesome. This is great. This is a short squeeze waiting to happen. I love the fact that it's going into cold storage. I don't love the fact that it's, you know, just 100 giant holders, but.
I think that's where we get true price discovery, when there's no Bitcoin on the exchanges. But that doesn't mean that Bitcoin can't come back on the exchanges.
That's true. Exactly.
So I think it's something that's interesting to look at. I think it's just important people take custody of their Bitcoin.
But also, how many people now are there? You know, you think about the sophisticated players now that are holding boatloads of Bitcoin, and they're selling and they're hedging. And they're doing financial games, financial trades, while their Bitcoin sits in cold storage. So it's not like a perfect short squeeze as far as I'm concerned, because there's all sorts of ways to sell your Bitcoin without pulling your Bitcoin out of cold storage.
Well, I think if your Bitcoin is on the exchange, your Bitcoin is in the traditional financial infrastructure, which gives lifeblood to the traditional financial infrastructure, and they can build on top of that. I think if you take your Bitcoin off the exchange, you drain energy from the old system.
Really?
Yeah, I do.
I don't think of it that way, because the old system is the derivatives, the options.
Right. So if you take your Bitcoin off exchanges,
then you drain the derivatives and the options.
You drain that, though.
Why? You just pull collateral off against your Bitcoin and you post it. So you borrow against your Bitcoin, you post that collateral, and then you trade options and derivatives against that. Or, you know, against that collateral while your Bitcoin sits in cold storage. Because you can show that you got X amount of Bitcoin and XYZ broker dealer gives you
you have to keep your Bitcoin on exchange to collateralize it. That's what Pulte just worked out with FHA and Fannie and Freddie.
Yeah, but I've talked to some traders that that's not the case.
Mm.
They can like, oh yeah, we got X amount of Bitcoin over here.
Show proof of reserves.
Here's post X billion collateral over here and go trade.
That's interesting. I didn't know that. That's really okay. That's a wrinkle I didn't think about. This one's you.
Cardone Capital adds 1,000 BTC to the real estate company. I mean, it makes total sense.
Yes, I
do. Borrow against your real estate, buy Bitcoin. These boys figured it out. They're Florida boys. Florida boys figure shit out.
What is it? Something like 20% of the capital raised goes into buying Bitcoin. And then you still run the real estate. And you still get the operating cash flows potentially. And then the Bitcoin buoys the whole thing. It's the way Bitbonds are supposed to work.
Yeah.
It's what Leon Rom comes talking about doing with Bitcoin. You use Bitcoin as the maintenance, repair and maintenance reserve. You use it as a capital reserve. It pairs beautifully with real estate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a smart move on their
part. These guys came late, but they seem to be grokking it at a high level in terms of how to do it the right way. It's interesting. They're
leveraging their balance sheet.
Yeah. It seems in the right way. Yeah, that's interesting. I'm following that one.
Sailor in Prague, 21 million Bitcoin in 21 years at 21% APR, 21 vol, 21 is the only number you ever need to know. That was his, you know, his prediction, his future vision of Bitcoin. I thought what was most interesting out of this talk was not 21 million. It was him laying out to individual investors how, you know, all the different options of way they could get into Bitcoin and what that Bitcoin could be worth in 21 years. And so he showed people the difference between a DCA, between like borrowing money with 10 to 30 year return, 10% or less, using other people's money, starting a corporation to do it, and, you know, and then the sort whole of
building on the Vegas speech.
So yeah, it was. And it was good. You know, it was it's all linear math, so take it with a grain of salt. Because, you know, all returns look beautiful and when they're linear. In the real world, it's gonna be a much wilder ride. So make sure whatever you do, you can stomach the volatility.
I gotta ask you, is that bullish or bearish 21 million in 21 years?
I think that's pretty good.
I mean, it's very bullish for the math that he's showing, but I think it's a little bearish for where we're headed, to be honest.
I don't know.
It'll be interesting to see. I think that ends the lightning rounds. Francis, where are we now? Well, we got Max Kaiser. Bitcoin equals love. Fiat equals fear.
I love when Max goes down these rabbit holes.
I like this one.
Look, here's the deal. Fiat. The whole issue with fiat is that you win by screwing somebody else.
Yep.
If you're not taking advantage of somebody in a contract, if you're not taking advantage of somebody, whatever deal you're trying to do, there's always a winner and a loser. Bitcoin is love because it's the only way you can get wealthy by being in alignment and supportive of everybody in the network.
Value for value.
The more you buy Bitcoin, the better I do. It's this unbelievable combination between capitalism and communism.
Yeah, if I buy something from you with cash, the moment I hand you the cash, you have a deteriorating, debasing asset.
Yeah, and so, also you think about it, like it's a I win, you lose deal proposition in fiat. It always is. And it leads to corruption. It leads to you know, all these people trying to take advantage of each other. It leads to crime because you can't get ahead fairly, right? In the past I've said think about like when you were a little kid, when the first thing is it comes out of your kid's mouth when they're playing with another kid and something goes awry, it's like, that's not fair. Like, we all come into this world anticipating that it should be like a fair rule set, and then you grow up and you mature and you're like, oh no, you know, life isn't fair. It's I have to take, I have to fight, I have to struggle, I have to punish the other person, I have to be better, I have to beat this person, beat that person. Bitcoin flips that all on its head. It's the only thing where I can do something for myself and out of love, like try and get you to do it too, not to take advantage of you, but if you do it too, we're both going to win.
Right.
Like, has there ever been a game like that in humanity? No. If I kill the elk and I feed my family, that's going to be harder for you to find an elk to kill, right? It's like, there's nothing else. I can't really think of anything else that exists like that, where the participation in the network benefits everybody in the network. And so that is the first time in human history where love is aligned, truth is aligned, and fairness is aligned with everybody finding abundance. It's a fucking game changer.
It is.
Yeah.
I love when you go on these rants. No, it's great. I think we should end there, though. I could add to it, but I'll kick it to you, Francis.
Yeah, we got another one if you want to go, or are we going to?
All right, let's do it. One more, yeah. All right. Oh.
Uh-huh.
Well, this is wild. I mean, this is the kind of things I'd like to see come out of technology next. What do you think? X to launch in-app trading.
Sure. I mean, this is what he's always wanted to do. But
this, yeah, this is leading towards Xbox.
Yeah, I mean, this is what he's always talked about with X, being the WhatsApp, payments and everything.
So it's kind of scary at the same time, but it's inevitable and it makes sense. It's like inevitable. Why can't he do what Robinhood's doing? You're already there.
Yeah.
You know, like, and why can't we pay each other on X, right? Especially for content.
I just can't figure this guy out, dude.
Well, he's a front. He's not.
I can't figure this.
There's nothing to figure out.
I mean, he's into some nasty, nasty shit, and then he just spins it so well. So I don't trust him.
No, I don't trust him. But I think this part of the evolution is sort of inevitable and like not. I kind of feel like it's benign.
Yeah, it's gonna. I mean, it's gonna happen.
You know,
it's gonna be the. I mean, it'll be interesting to see if he launches a stable coin.
He's going to.
He's got to, right?
Yeah. Well, whether he'll integrate one and or then follow on with his own.
XUSD.
Just call it XCoin. Yeah, XUSD, USDX. I can do anything with that.
Oh, God, Elon. Fund your Neuralink and your tunnels and everything else.
Are we out? That's done for Lightning.
That's it.
Yep, that's it.
I don't know.
Unless we have any Q&A or anything, we can roll out.
No, we don't have any questions.
All right. Well, thank you for joining us for another episode of Bitcoin Center. My name is Cedric Youngelman. This is my co-host, Paul Tarantino. And this is all brought to you by Bite Federal. So run to your ATM, get some Bitcoin, and then put it in self-storage, self-custody, of course.
Go bank.